listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Just think, what if you could just blink yourself away? Just think, what if you could just blink yourself away? I'd be the 5'7" Jeff X can rock the mic with tooth decay. I'd be the 5'7" residing at the Mecca lesson south session. They used to cut the class in the infinite pursuit of ass back in 87. Easy with the chicks, I was a chocolate boy raised in the cellar with the rhythm like Ella, walking down the streets to the subway where I lay till the train stopped, then a nigga hop. Used to do the pop dance to the Planet Rock at the block party. Everybody jock, who me? It's the MC sucker niggas envy. I got the contract in 1993 and I shall proceed. All right, we got it together by the end. Hey hey everybody, how y'all doing in podcast land? Of course, this is the Blackout Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen,
and I'm in the house with Karen on a Wednesday where we recap The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, you guys made it. Okay. Unlike Glenn and Abraham, you guys all made it to this moment. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just leave us 5-star reviews. Just search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews if you like the show. Say nice things and we'll read it on the air. If you don't like the show and you just want to tell us to go fuck ourselves, then do not do that.
Your vote don't count.
We will not be reading that on the air. Mm-hmm. Okay. We will be suppressing those votes.
Sure will.
We need to see voter ID if you're going to do that.
Are you legal?
Yeah. How do I know that you're really whoever you say you are on iTunes, okay?
Mm-hmm. You're a single parent household? Come on now. Be sure you can't file as head of household no more.
Mm-hmm. You can also do things like leave comments on our website, theblackouttips.com, and vote in the polls there and all that kind of stuff. You can email us, theblackouttips@gmail.com, and you can leave voicemails for us as long as they're 3 minutes or less at 704-557-0186. That's 704-557-0186. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is sponsored. It's actually double sponsored, okay? The podcast is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. So feast on up to three brand spanking new Rod and Karen audio plays. You can buy the whole album, yay, or just download their individual tracks for $1 a piece. Mm-hmm. Their tracks are called Short Horror 1, 2, 3. That's it. Short Horror Movies 1, 2, and 3. And you can find it on Stuff I Said Because They Paid Me, which is on Apple, iTunes. Let me tell you, man, it's kind of cool because this is an idea that we came up with while we were recording a podcast with Shadow Dog Productions. And we were like, if horror movies starred black people, they will be super short. And it was cool getting to like see that come to fruition from a skit on the show to being a skit on the album. So
it was a lot of fun.
It's called Stuff I Said Because They Paid Me, and I'll put it in the show notes so you can click on it and then you can get it. This show is also brought to you by Bevel. That's right. Show is brought to you by Bevel, which is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT to get your first month free. That's getbevel.com, getbevel.com/TBGWT. And you can get that first month free, guys, because, I mean, come on, dog. Wouldn't you want to do that? I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys wanted to, but, you know, you need to do it. All right, let's go ahead and get to what everybody's anticipating. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game called Fucking with Black People. It's where we go all around the globe and we find different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with. Today's contestants, well, it's everyone again. Everyone just stays so damn busy. You know, someone left us a 9-minute and 40-second voicemail just now? 9 minutes and 4 seconds. Nigga, start a podcast. What the hell? What is this? Just happened while we were on the air. What is this possibly be? Okay, it just gotta be, had to be a just a missed out. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, somebody had us on speed dial and butt dialed us by accident.
10 minutes. I was like, woo. Yeah,
and then somebody was like, oh, my phone on. Boop.
Thought somebody gave us a damn dissertation.
Don't forget to hit your lock button, people.
Yeah, it's your senior exit essay project. Anyway, white supremacist website has declared New Balance the official shoes of white people. Now, I'm a little surprised that it wasn't already the official shoes of white people. I thought New Balance was pretty much whites only. But they've made it official, apparently. The Daily Stormer. That's the name of the white supremacist website. Daily Stormer sounds like the name of a weatherman.
Daily Stormer sound like the name of an X-Men that they didn't know what to do with is related to Storm.
Yeah, Daily Stormer. Hey, it's me, Daily Stormer. I'm coming up after the ones. We're going to give you guys the breakdown. Should you wait, bring an umbrella out today? We'll tell you, right? Coming up at 6.
I know. They were like, Storm can't make it. Who should we send? Let's send Daily Storm.
Mm-hmm. He can only have the powers of Storm for a day.
I know, right?
Then he's done.
He can only tell you the weather on the tens. That's it.
He has acute claustrophobia. It's even worse. At any rate, so he called it the official shoes of white people. At the New Balance's vice president of public affairs, Matt LeBreton, told the Wall Street Journal that the election of Trump was a move in the right direction. In response to LeBreton's statement, some once loyal New Balance customers threw away, burned, or impaled their sneakers on large knives. The company was added to the official grab your wallet boycott list of companies that do business with or back the Trump family.
That's a party, a long ass list here.
Yeah, damn, someone made a video of them burning some damn shoes. Niggas was mad. Yeah, this person is called Streetwear on Twitter. Guess the race. And decided to burn their shoes live. Damn. This is showing them burning. I mean, I really didn't know black people wore New Balance like that.
Mm-mm.
On Monday.
I don't think I've ever owned a pair, honestly.
Yeah, on Monday, New Balance tried to undo some of the damage by telling the Associated Press that it does not tolerate bigotry.
Nah.
Don't. Or hate in any form.
Mm-mm, can't walk that back. Mm-mm.
One of our officials was recently asked to comment on a trade policy that was taken out of context. As a 110-year-old company with 5 factories in the U.S. and thousands of employees worldwide from all races, genders, cultures, and sexual orientations, New Balance is a values-driven organization and culture that believes in humanity, integrity, community, and mutual respect for people around the world. Mm-hmm. We have been and always will be committed to manufacturing in the United States.
Whatever, y'all ran into the same shit Chick-fil-A did. People at top start talking and you be like, he don't represent us, but he actually does represent you.
The Daily Stormer's founder, Andrew Anglin, who apparently is not ashamed, put his whole name out there, told ABC News that he believes New Balance supporter Trump could be a marketing scheme, but he and his website will support the company and encourage others to do the same. He did not comment to ABC News on New Balance's statement opposing bigotry and hate, but a new post on the Daily Stormer's website this morning denounced the statement as a farce. We won't be linking to it for obvious reasons. According to the post, Matt LeBreton, New Balance's VP of Public Affairs, insisted that the Twitter account has been hacked by anti-Republican Jews.
Mm-mm. Everybody won't be hacked? Nah, dawg.
I'll tell you this, though. I wonder if this is gonna, New Balance is gonna start being like Jordans, but for Aryan white folks. You know, where they're gonna be standing outside in lines before Foot Locker open, hoping to get them new Aryan sixes, you know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you gonna get them Air Hitlers, dog? The Hitler fives, I gotta stay in line. You know, you resell them on eBay, get even more. Got to get those. Get that Mein Kampf number, them sixes. The comp sixes. Oh man, you got to get the comp sixes, dog. It's they off the hook, man. They off the hook. Can't stop Jews, right? If you're wearing,
Mm-mm.
if you're not wearing New Balances,
Mm-mm. gotta have the right shoes.
You have some knockoff New Balances. You know, like you show up in some DoorDash, they be like, what are those?
They be like, those not real. Those don't have 3Ks on the side.
Right. Where the news camera when these come out? I want them to get out there and interview these people. They be like, aha, it's real, CK. Lick my shoes. I want to see it.
Ah, for racism. Mm-hmm. Racism never tasted just delicious on the bottom of a shoe.
Right. Like, yeah, get them all whites.
All whites, yes! Gonna be all white shoe.
Mm-hmm. I want to see it now. I might go out there and stand in line too, and then just be like white people do us. Look at them getting those goddamn shoes.
Oh, somebody said some David Duke Sevens.
Why don't you root for? Why don't you get a job instead of standing in line all day using the government money to buy shoes?
Oh, the monkey stumper number 5.
You're probably selling drugs. And here you go wearing them damn curb stomping shoes. Look at you. God, I hate these Aryans. So lazy.
Look, they job.
You know, New Balance is irresponsible because they know people kill each other for them shoes and they just put out a limited amount. And then them Aryans stand in line for them.
Single mamas living in the trailer park.
Right. Take care of your Aryan kids. Walk around here calling people by their first names. I'll be ashamed of yourselves. 0 to 100, Karen.
0, 0, because what people say, white folks own everything. Who, what nigga shoes you know out there that's manufactured by niggas that's mass produced? 0.
Okay, well, I'll give it, I'm still gonna give it 50. Okay, because of what he, the original dude said, the CEO. I don't like that shit.
I don't like it either.
Oprah Winfrey apparently got herself in some hot water. Cause she had said something about Trump and Obama. She said it was Trump and Obama when Trump came to the house and finally met President Obama. And she said, everybody take a deep breath. # hope lives. And of course, I'm sure she got roasted. I didn't even see the roasting. I'm just assuming.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Well, Sunday, she ate her words a bit during a Facebook Live discussion with Ava DuVernay on her film 13th. It's the 13th, I think. Anyway, Oprah went into the whys and hows of the tweet, but overall, ultimately conceded that it wasn't her place. I couldn't breathe at the election. I was just like, I ain't refreshing nothing for these niggas.
Yes, he is.
They gonna get this auto-tune. All right. Well, let me refresh, guys. Give me a second. While that's doing, might as well play this.
But look at him! Look! I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, greens,
All right, I think it's back up.
It makes me hungry.
All right, well, what was I saying? Oh yeah, Oprah. She says, I couldn't breathe after the election. I was just like, I was expecting tension, awkwardness, and strain. So when I saw them sitting together and I actually took a picture of the screen that said President-elect Trump honored to meet Obama, and President Obama was being so gracious, and I heard Donald Trump say, he's a good man. I heard Donald Trump say, I'm going to be seeking his counsel. I literally went, I can breathe now. My mistake. And what I know to be true, you can never talk about everybody, even in your arguments with your husband and your children. Don't talk about what you should do, what you ought to do, what everybody else should do. Only speak for yourself. I don't really know what that means, but okay. It is Oprah. I mean, I really need rich black people to not talk about what's going on with the election. I'm gonna need y'all to chill.
Especially her proximity to whiteness.
I'm gonna just
white
need
people love, especially white women, they love Oprah.
I'm gonna just need rich black people to chill. That's all. We just gotta chill, guys. It's not working. I don't like that shit. Cause y'all end up saying the nicest shit, but you can't speak for so much of America that don't have that same experience, that's not gonna get that benefit of doubt, that when they get pulled over, they don't go, "Oh, Oprah," you know, and you can't.
And you're gonna be fine. I'm not trying to be funny. You're to the point that you're going to be just fine. And what people underestimate, Donald Trump has been around for a long ass time. And for people that have been rich for an extensive period of time or got to the point where they've been rich, they have met, have some form of a connection or some shit by or through Donald Trump at some point for most people. So for a lot of them, they like, okay, he runs in my circles. Like, I can't be shit to do because he quote unquote runs in my circle and he's president of the United States. So I'm not trying to make him mad or piss him off, but instead of you just being quiet, you feel like you have to defend this man. You don't have to defend him. He has spoken for himself.
Yeah. I don't know, man. All I'm saying is this. If you rich and you black, just keep it to yourself. Because ain't nobody got time for that hope and bullshit that you're going to be selling. Because your life is not going to be affected the same way. Mm-hmm. So just stop. It's okay to be like,
it's a disconnect.
Yeah, it's okay to be like, well, my shit will be fine, but yeah, it's probably gonna be pretty fucked up for everybody that's not rich like me. Anyway, let's get into what people really came to see. Okay, guys, that's right, it's time to talk about The Walking Dead. I'm talking about. Let's get into it, guys. This is episode 4 of season 7 of The Walking Dead. It's called Service, and it came in with 11.4 million people viewing it. Now, I will say this: this is a trend I noticed. These are the lowest ratings they've ever gotten consistently. Okay, so, you know, other than season 3, and you know, like when it first started, season 1, 2, and 3, that's when it was about this point, like 11 something. But the last seasons before this, 4, 5, and 6, they all got more viewers than they currently have, and they've been trending at about 11 million right now, like 11.5. Anyway, just an interesting note.
Because the thing is, for a lot of people, I think they checked in for the scene died and then they checked out.
Oh yeah, that episode was like their second best ever or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all right, now let's get into it. Of course, Service, I guess the best way to sum up this episode is Negan comes to Alexandria.
Yeah,
because that's this is another in the spend the whole episode one place thing. And I think we had more to do here, because we have more characters that we know, as opposed to introducing characters. So,
right.
I would say week one, of course, you have the humbling. Week two, you have the kingdom. Week three, you had the saviors. Week four, you get Alexandria. And I'm guessing week five will probably get Hilltop.
Right.
And then we can start weaving some of these threads together. But I feel like this is all necessary story basing.
Yeah,
to move into more detailed things later. Anyway, yeah, basically Negan comes to fucking Alexandria. Karen, what and it was 1.5 hours long. What was your opinion of this episode? What'd you think about it?
I loved it. It was a good episode to me.
Yeah. I loved it as well. I thought it was actually really good, really funny. It's almost unfair at this point that Jeffrey Dean Morgan is so good, because even when the episode or the idea is something that I'm already familiar with and I think I know where they're going with it, if you sprinkle in a whole fucking bunch of Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I'm like, yeah, I'll keep watching. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's almost unfair, because you're sitting there and you're like, well, I think I know how this is going to play out, but Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he got lines, he got bars. Negan, you know, if you're one of the people that listen to this show and you don't watch the show, I don't know how to accurately convey how fucking awesome Jeffrey Dean Morgan is as Negan.
So good.
Yeah, so.
It, to me, it's so much better than the comic. He just bought that character just flat to life.
Yeah, and I'm starting to notice, like, his mannerisms. Like, he does this thing where he leans back on all his punchlines and shit. It's always so funny, man. Where he, you know, like, he gets right up in Rick's face and then he leans back, and then when he wants to be scary, he gets right up on you and like stares you in your eyes and shit. And he's taller than Rick too. Mm-hmm. Which I think lends itself to the whole, to the humbling or whatever that happens. Let me see. I think this may have Negan's best lines or something like that. From the TV series. It's only 35 seconds long. I'll see if I can get it to play. But I just want people to hear it so they can kind of get an idea of like why. I mean, you have to see it too, to be honest. Next Sunday, but why he's so cool. Episode of The Walking
Dead. Little pig, let me in.
Let me put this to all of you as clearly as I can.
That's just the preview for the episode. Dang, I need someone to do a montage of just his best lines.
I guarantee this is something right down YouTube.
Yeah, because it's just like, even when he approaches the gate with the little pig, let me in, he's like, dun, dun, dun. When he knocks on the gate. All right, let's just get into the breakdown and we'll get back to this. All right. So this episode opens in Alexandria with Rick and Michonne sleeping in the bed back to back, not even touching at all. Mm-mm. And I think within 2 seconds, to me it was obvious they probably haven't slept together or done anything sexual since the humbling.
Right.
You know? And Michonne wakes up first, sees if Rick's still asleep. He is. So she gets out of bed, gets her stuff on, you know, her sword and stuff, goes to the chimney, looks in there, and takes a bag out and has a rifle in it. And then she walks out of the house. And we can see that as she walks out, Rick is actually up now and he's watching her leave, even though she doesn't really know it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she does know and she doesn't care.
Right.
But it looks like some shit where she's been doing this for however long they've been back. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought maybe it's Andrea's gun, but I don't even know how they would still have that.
And it is Andrea's gun, because he told her, oh, never mind. I'm about to say, further on,
yeah,
when they was talking, he was like, I know why you out there shooting.
Yeah, I don't think it's Andrea's gun, though. I think they got it from the Saviors. And she said that's why it wasn't checked into the list. At any rate, okay. Anyway, so at first that's what I thought was, oh, maybe it's Andrea's gun. And maybe they're trying to turn it into comic book version of Andrea, but also Michonne with a sword, which would have been super duper ninja badass, but would have also been kind of interesting. So anyway, in the next scene, Michonne goes out to a wide open field and sits on top of a rusted out car, and she just sits the bag next to her, and she's just basically looking into the woods. And from far away, like the woods are probably a football field or two away, but she's just sitting on top of this car. We cut back to Rick. He's picking up Judith from her crib at the house. And she's just growing faster than racism in the country since Trump got elected.
Wow, she done got so big.
Right? And they haven't been back long. And Judith, it feel like Judith is a bit different baby now.
Mm-hmm. She went from not saying a word to like just a little package to now she walking.
Yeah. So Rick was holding Judith. Eugene was working on fixing some electronic thing, which we find out is a radio. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Rosita and Spencer were hopping in a car to go out foraging because they wanted to have stuff for when Negan arrived. And they stopped the car and they asked Eugene to open up the gate. And he's so transfixed on fixing this electronic device that I don't think he heard him. And then Rosita was like, open up the gate. And he was like, oh, okay. And Spencer says, hey, you want to come with us? And Eugene is like, I don't think I'd be up for that. And then Rosita basically just like, even as Spencer was asking, she was looking at Spencer like, don't even ask his ass. Because remember, Rosita taught him knife fighting or whatever, but she remembers him bitching out. You know, she remembers him being like, I'm scared and I don't even want to learn how to fight. And they had a moment where they kind of all got together and, you know, during the wolf invasion and kind of got a newfound respect for Eugene. And Eugene drove the RV last year to try to fake Negan's crew out into following him. He was willing to die.
Yeah, but she wasn't there.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. But my point is, Eugene, here's my thing. Eugene isn't necessarily the coward that she was making him out to be. But I feel like she was basically saying, of course, you're a coward. Like,
yeah,
you're not gonna help us, you're not gonna go outside the fence. Yes, and he was like, what I'm doing is providing a valuable service, I'm fixing them up and making them a pretty good reliable radio or something like that. And she was just looking at him like, whatever, nigga, you just scared to walk out of this fence,
right? And I think in my opinion, people that had a lot of nasty attitudes, it was like, y'all really didn't see what they went through. So, and like you said, it's almost like racism. It's a thought exercise.
Rosita saw what they went through, right? She was there with Daryl. Yeah. Yeah. Her and Daryl got ambushed in the woods. She was there.
Oh, she was.
So she saw it. Okay. She just don't respect Eugene. She was like, of course you a punk now. Absolutely, she was there. Daryl got kicked. That's why she knew where the bike was, remember?
No. She wasn't there when Negan showed up.
They got them all. They got all of them. Yeah. They went out into the woods to look for,
So it was Eugene, Maggie, Abraham, Rick, Carl, Glenn,
Michonne, Daryl, and Rosita were in a different crew, but they got captured, and that's why they got brought there too. Yeah, because remember they had Michonne's dreads tied to that one zombie to make Rick know, like, we got your people.
Okay, I don't know why. I just thought she didn't go. My bad.
Mm-mm. So she was there. She don't respect that nigga.
Okay,
because she has seen him punk out before, I think, and I think just the memories flashback.
Okay.
Yeah, she was there, baby. You don't gotta believe me. Believe the chat then. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. I only rewatch all the episodes. Okay. Anyway, she said that sounds about right when he didn't want to go out, which was basically like, bitch.
I still think she should have a little bit more respect for him. It ain't like he not do shit.
I'm not saying it's valid or not valid. I'm just saying she saw him punk out and it seemed like she went right back to, you're a punk.
Okay.
Anyway, and I mean, and that's a dude that's watched her have sex with Abraham. It's not like she has the utmost respect for that dude.
True.
But do you think he's lost all his bravery after seeing some real shit? His friends get their head bashed in. Abe was pretty much his hero. You watch Abe get his head bashed in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might have some adverse effect on Eugene. He might not feel like walking outside that fence anymore.
That's true. That's why I was like, well, I know Spencer wasn't there, but that's why I was always like, well, bitch, did you go? Did you see? Because you act like he just, something wrong with him for not wanting to go after he seen that shit.
We'll get more into Rosita later, but I don't think she's just not like Eugene. She's a fighter.
True.
So I don't think she would ever respect that, you know.
Yeah, that type
he
of
gotta,
man.
He got to show some type of fight.
Yeah, she was like, you can't fight when you got to, and then when you don't have to fight, you're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't even know that her and Abe were in love as much as Abe was the alpha male type. And she was like, cool, I can be with this dude.
True.
All right, so about that time, before they can even get into it and open the fence, they hear a whole bunch of trucks roll up outside. And they're all kind of looking surprised at each other.
Like,
and
who's showing up here?
Right. And the way the fence is set up, you can see a silhouette of a man approaching, holding a bat. And before he actually gets to the fence to open it, he goes, dun, dun, dun. Little pig, let me in. And knocks on the fence with the bat. And it's Negan. Mm-hmm. And Spencer goes up to the fence and he moves the like silhouette part of the fence, but he keeps the bars in front of him and he says, who are you?
Right.
And Negan goes, you better be joking. Negan, Lucille. Oh, I know I made some pretty strong first impressions.
He's an ass.
Oh man. And he did make good first impressions. And so Rick walked up behind Spencer and he was just quiet. And he clearly knew it was Negan and shit. And Negan was like, I know you're not gonna make me ask twice. And Rick opens up the fence for him and he basically says, y'all are here earlier than you said. You said you were gonna give us a week, and apparently it only been 3 days. So Negan showed up early, which is extremely smart. Keep them on their toes. Cause in a week, and especially if they've done this before, shit, in a week, people might take and hide half their guns. People might take and hide, food supplies.
People might actually leave.
They might leave. They might ambush you. You tell them they have a week. You show up early. Now they can't ambush you. They don't have a plan. You know, they're basically stuck like Chuck. Plus you show up with superior numbers and superior weapons. They were just fucked. It was just, that's what it was. This was the day for them to be fucked.
Yeah, so even if you had a plan, they got killed immediately.
Yeah, and it makes sense why people weren't prepared.
Right.
You know, now I'm assuming 3 days passed, so they had learned about Negan. Rick had told them, but it wasn't, like, people looked like, what the fuck? They walk in, and Negan and crew, they have, Gimp Daryl with him. Daryl's still wearing that a dirty ass intern uniform with no shoes probably. And Negan,
you know, he stank, but he used to that though.
Yeah, he do look like he stank, but he that what else is new. Negan had Gimp Daryl, and they open up the gate. A zombie walks up. He takes Lucille. He beats up the zombie and he says, hey Rick, you see what I just did? Now that is some service. And I almost got turned away at the gate. Who is that guy anyway? Do I get mad? Do I throw a fit? Do I bash some ginger's head in? No, I just take care of one of these dead pricks that could have killed one of y'all. Service. That's the title of the episode, by the way. Service. And then Rick looked at Daryl and was like, Daryl. And Negan said, don't talk to him. You don't look at him. And then he told Rosita the same thing. He got all up in her personal space.
She was creepy.
So creepy. And then she walked off and he was like, "Do you think she knew how intense that was? I don't think she knew how intense that was," or something. It's like, damn, what a dick. And all of Negan's crew was just standing around watching like the Ava DuVine's 500-man gangbang.
Where, all right.
Yeah, all of them was just, they just got the creepiest looking ragtag bunch of fucking just criminal motherfuckers. They all just look sweaty and horny, all of them. I don't know who did the casting on this show. It was just, are you sweaty and horny? Can you look sweaty and horny?
You got the job.
I mean, you look kind of pedophile-y.
Just hold a gun.
Yeah, hold this rifle. Yeah, we can, Rick tells Negan that they set aside half the supplies, so you know, hey, y'all take half. And then Negan said, you don't get to decide what I take. Told his men to search all the houses, and then he made Rick give him the tour. And the thing is, Negan goes from like menacing to affable so fast. So like even when he told his people to search everything, he was like, yeah, they just gonna search the house, you know, speed this little process up. And I'm like, you sound like a middle management at like like a movers or interior decorators
company, right?
Yeah, but you holding a bat and you want to kill people. So he gave Rick his bat to hold. As they start walking around the compound, looking for stuff. Meanwhile, Dwight sees Rosita and Spencer in the car that they were about to leave in to go on a hunt or on a run for scavenging. And, Dwight comes over, he takes their guns out of the car. He takes Rosita's hat, her canteen, her backpack. And then he tells them, I want Daryl's bike. Rosita says it's not here. And then he says, well, you know where it is, because last time he saw Rosita and Spencer and, well, not Spencer, but he saw Rosita, that was in the woods when they, you know, when they basically bum rushed, Daryl and them, and killed Denise. Mm-hmm. So he was like, you know, the bike, you know where it's at. Maybe that wasn't the time to kill Denise, but he knew the bike was out there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he told her to go get it without no guns, her and Spencer.
And she looking like, with Spencer, I roll with him with a gun, but without a gun, we fucked.
Yeah, I don't think they were scared. She just looked annoyed.
Right, because she was like,
she's such a fighter, man. Like, I'm really respecting the fuck out of Rosita lately.
She's like, y'all came up here and take our shit, and I just gotta fucking deal with it.
Right, like, her thing is like, man, I'm not giving up, and this is fucked up, you know, like, fuck you guys. Anyway, so he tells him to go get the bike. Now, why did you think he wanted Daryl's bike?
Because he wanted to fuck with Daryl. Like, ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Yeah, because
he been fucking with it with the bowl. Like, he was like, I'm going to do everything I can to, quote unquote, get at you and make you break.
Right, because I know he lost the bike he had last week when he fucked up the rim, but they had so many bikes there.
True.
Because Daryl was trying to steal one. Mm-hmm. So we know they got tons of bikes there, so it wasn't even a matter of just getting a bike. Right. It was getting Daryl's bike specifically. Correct. So, yeah, it took me a while to put it together. I'm not going to lie. When he said that, I was just like, I guess the bike from last week? I don't know. Is it like a book? You check one out, you got to bring one back?
Yeah, because they had tons of bikes. Looked like a, Holly Davidson, if I'm pronouncing that right, spot.
Yeah. It also made me realize, not realize, but it confirmed what I already believed. Last week was not about feeling sorry for Dwight. It wasn't at all. It couldn't be. Because if it was, they wouldn't make him go right back to doing what he's doing now, which is being a complete dick. Like, the way he poured the canteen water out, all of it on the ground, and then said, hurry back. Like, he didn't need to do that. Even if you were just gonna steal her canteen, you just take the canteen. You know, and I thought maybe he's gonna tell her maybe there's a note for her waiting with the bike or something, and he's gonna be like secretly, hey, help me, we trying to get out of here or something. But no, it's not that. He's just a fucking dick. And he enjoys it. He enjoys it. Yeah, I think he really wants to prove that he's falling in line, but any man would fall in line to survive. But no, you take a special pleasure in what you do. So
being over people.
Yeah, I know people tried to read it last week as, oh, they want us to feel sympathetic. No, they don't. Like, these writers clearly have written this character where you go, oh, no, fuck him.
Right.
And last week was really about learning about Negan's particular psychological warfare that he puts on his entire, like, compound. It's not just, like, Daryl's just Dwight's just the best instrument to see it through, but he's just victimizing everyone there, and they all fall in line because they're scared of him.
Right.
anyway. So, Michonne finally sees a zombie and she shoots at it on top of that rusted out car. Shoots at that shit 9 times and didn't hit it at all.
Out there like me.
Yeah, I think she just needed to get them rounds off, for the rounds that Rick isn't breaking her off.
Come on.
In the bedroom. So she just had to make up for them rounds somewhere. And she finally had to take out her sword and kill it. Then she walked into the woods and realized she had accidentally created the beginning of Bambi, because she shot a deer.
Yeah, she did.
and somewhere two dead kids was just going around trying to survive
on their own
without their mama. Back in Alexandria, one of Negan's men found the camera that Deanna used to use to record mm-hmm. all the incoming freshmen to Alexandria,
right?
And on there, Negan said he was hoping for a little freaky deaky, but instead he saw Rick's confessional, and Rick with the beard and all dirty and unkempt, mm-hmm. looking wild, and he was basically like, man, now I wouldn't have messed with this guy, like old Rick, I'm scared of him. He was like, but that's not you anymore, is it? And he put the camera on him and everything. Then he looked at himself and was like, I need to shave this shit off, talking about his own beard. Mm-hmm. He then asked about Maggie. He's like, what happened to the girl that was sick? And Rick sort of gave him the eye, like, because he said, I think she was married to she must have been sweet on number two. And Rick gave him that look, and he was like, hey, don't give me that look. You know what happened last time? About made him cut off Carl's arm. And
mm-hmm. on the low, in my opinion, and they periodically dropped it through the episode, there is still some fight in Rick. I don't know why people think he's just not a quote-unquote fighter. Mm-hmm. He's just suppressing it right now. Mm-hmm. But it's something within him that's like...
Okay. He thinks this is for the greater good.
Right.
Like, and they did a good job of showing him gripping on the bat, playing... Like, when he talked about... When Negan playing. Talked about Glenn to his face, he gripped up on Lucille, because Rick is holding Lucille. Mm-hmm. And he had that look like, I could knock this motherfucker out right now, they would kill everybody here, mm-hmm. you know?
He was thinking about the greater good. And the thing about thinking about the greater good is that a lot of times people that ain't thinking about the greater good, they don't really understand that burden.
Right. So, at any rate, Rick is... basically sitting there taking this shit, and so Negan's asking about Maggie, and Rick is about to tell him something, who knows, but he basically made the innuendo that I want to fuck her. Like, he was basically like, you know, widows like that, you know, I found that they are empty inside until they're not, you know what I'm saying, you know, make that a sandwich. And the Rick is like, you know, getting ready to say something, and then Gabe snuck up. Father Gabriel sneaks up out of nowhere like a fucking black ninja.
For the win.
Yeah, and says, would you like to pay your respects? And Negan's like, whoa, you just snuck up out of nowhere. Wearing that? Look at that creepy smile and all this shit. And so basically they say Maggie is dead, and they buried her in the graveyard in Alexandria. So they go over to pay their respects, basically looking at this empty empty grave, basically, that's been, you can tell it's been freshly dug, because Gabe still has dirt on his pants, and Rick sees the dirt. So Rick notes, like, okay, you just dug this fucking fresh grave, we're good. And Daryl was there as well. I don't know if he put it together or not. But so Daryl might think Maggie's dead, which is just another thing he probably blames himself for. Mm-hmm. You know, because Daryl's also the person that told him we can take out the saviors, so he probably blames himself going all the way back. Mm-hmm. They go to the graves, and he basically said, Negan tells Rick he was gonna ask Maggie to come back with him, and he was like, I know what you're thinking. I just bashed a man's head brains in, but you'd be surprised. And right about then, they hear a gunshot.
Yes, they do.
And Negan's face, when all the amusement goes out of his face, and he gets so serious when he hear that gunshot, which is just, it just shows you how much of an act all of it is. You know, all this shit is just for everyone else. I would be so intrigued to know what he did before the Z-Pac popped off.
I guarantee you, before the season over, we're gonna find out.
Cause he just fucking, I mean, it just comes out of nowhere. It's like, what the fuck, man? What kind of human being is this way, you know?
Yeah.
Cause he's so charismatic, but he's so goddamn evil. Anyway, so, the gunshot came from Rick's house, and inside Carl is pointing a gun at two of Negan's men, who he says were taking too much medicine.
I was like, of course it would be Carl.
Yeah, he said they taking all of our medicine, and I'm not gonna let them do it. And Rick's like, put the gun down.
Right.
And Negan was like, yeah, put the gun down. Basically, I like y'all. I don't want to have to fuck y'all up, basically, because you know I will. And Carl says to him, leave before you find out just how dangerous we all are. Mm-hmm. And Negan's like, you just threatened me? And Rick is like, no, Carl, don't. And he's like, no, you don't threaten me. Like, we let him talk. We have some manners. And he's like, let's get back to what we was talking about, the man-sized balls on this one. And he essentially talks Carl down by being like, look, I don't want to have to fuck y'all up. I'll kill another person with this bat. You guys know how I do. And I think Carl sees his father basically being punked by Negan and realizes, okay, let me just stop. So he puts the gun down, hands it to his dad. Negan takes the gun from Rick, like Shaq took that trophy from the refs and handed it to Dwayne Wade. But yeah, he takes the gun. It's all psychological. Takes the gun from Rick. He basically says, you know, come to think of it, y'all got a lot of guns. You got the guns y'all had before. You got the guns y'all stole from my men at the outpost. I'm gonna need all y'all guns. So where are my guns?
Something he wasn't even thinking about.
I think he was thinking about it. This is how calculating I think Negan is. Like, why were they taking Rosita and Spencer's gun before sending them out?
Okay.
I think they were always planning on taking the guns. You know another reason? Hilltop. Okay. Remember when they rode up on Hilltop and we went, fuck, these things got wooden spears. They look like wooden samurai.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because he takes everybody's weapons. Right.
Right. I think he...
He makes you so defenseless that you have to depend on him.
It's a protection racket. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, we are the ones who can kill the zombies. We're the ones that can protect you from other groups because we are the biggest, baddest group. We took all your shit. And if anything happens, you'll need us. You know, that was the point. When he walked in and he killed that zombie with the bat, mm-hmm. and then made Rick hold it like it was his penis. I think that was all kind of the point. Like, we're going to make you unable to even protect yourselves. So he takes the, he says basically we need all the weapons. We go to commercial, we come back, and they're at the food store / armory. Which is, of course, it was watched over by Olivia.
Yeah, which Carol from the beginning was like, you ain't got no business watching over this shit.
Yeah, Olivia is just like completely, and it's not even like that she's not a fighter. She's mm-hmm. not intimidating. Mm-mm. If somebody wanted to go in there and be like, bitch, I'm taking some extra grains. What you gonna do about it? She wouldn't say nothing. Yeah, she was, who are you fitting to try? Nobody. I'm not fitting to try nobody. Nobody. So, anyway, they walk in and Olivia opens the garage for him or whatever, and Rick says to show him the guns, and the people, and they figured they were probably gonna take the guns. Negan points out that they're not taking any of their food because they have meager supplies as is. And what do you think about that? And Rick says, what do you want me to say? And Negan says, how about thank you, basically. Which is kind of weird that, I don't know if it's weird or it's just Rick's form of resistance, but he didn't know he was basically saying, like, you need to thank me for this shit right now. Like, cause to me, I was like, yeah, obviously he gonna want you to say thank you. And he was like, what do you want me to say? And it's like, Rick, don't. Like, are you trying to make it worse? Just fucking get it over with.
That was kind of his, I think he was complying, but kind of rebelling at the same time, almost. Like,
it's like, to me, and I hate to make such a vulgar analogy, but listen, it's like this. If you're gonna suck a dick, deep throat it. That's all I'm saying. Like Rick was doing all that little like nibbling and kissing at the head and licking in the shit and slapping it against his face.
The balls.
Like just fucking get in there and just deep throat that shit, man. Cause
why you fucking around?
Yeah, it's never gonna get better than that. You know what I mean? You just gotta get it over with. It's never like you already have been assigned to this role where you don't have a fucking choice. Just you don't get to be, you know, you don't get to be resistant about this, you know. Fucking the faster you can get them out.
He's just looking at it, gazing at it, yeah, smacking himself in the face with it.
Yeah, he's trying to jack it off with two fingers and shit. It's not gonna work.
No, it's not.
This man's just getting angrier.
Get accomplished.
Ball's just getting bluer and bluer, just mad at you. So but yeah, his pride wouldn't let him say thank you. And then basically Negan says, are you cooperating, Rick? And Rick's like, yeah. And he said, so all the guns in there? He's like, to the best of my knowledge. He was like, all right, that a boy. Meanwhile, back in the woods, Spencer and Rosita find Daryl's bike. Spencer then says, as he's gathering the bike and putting it into a trailer that they have. And he's like, this is our life now. Maybe if Rick would have saw it all the way through, it would be different. But people still might be with us, but this is our life. We just need to get used to it.
He's not a fighter.
You know what? He just feels like a second guesser. Mm-hmm. I don't even, like, I know he's not a fighter. I mean, we remember that crew he had with Nicholas and fucking him going out stabbing one zombie in the woods.
They're not about that life.
Fucking around. But as far as, it's just something about him where it kind of feels like he would have second guessed no matter how it would have turned out.
Right.
Like if Rick would have
been leader, but he gonna second guess everything that your ass do.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, because he did it with Deanna, everything. Like, and that way he always has somebody to blame versus taking fucking responsibility for your own actions and what you did.
Exactly. He's one of those people. Like he the kind of person that votes for Trump but wears a safety pin. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he's one of those motherfuckers. Anyway, so Rosita just is completely ignoring him and looks into the woods, sees something, and then goes into the woods with a knife. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, where you going? Back in Alexandria, Negan takes one of the handguns from the armory and asks Rick if it works. He's like, let me check on my guns, see if they work. And he points it at Daryl as Daryl walks by. He doesn't shoot him. Then he takes the gun and shoots it into a random window of a building, which anybody could have been in there and
right,
died.
I was like, I hope anybody up there. He finally may have even shot one of his people. He didn't even give a damn. And the thing about Daryl didn't even flinch. He was like, fuck it. Like, because I think Daryl is to the point where I don't even think he cares if he lives or dies. And so he's like, fuck it. Like, it's not going to faze me either way.
Yep. If I die, I die. I mm-hmm. think he still thinks he deserves to die for getting Glenn killed.
Mm-hmm.
So he shoots it into a fucking window, and even Rick kind of noticed it, like, damn, somebody could have been in there, you know. He also sees that they have an RPG, and he puts together that Rick's crew killed Little Timmy and the Dick Brigade is what he called them.
Yeah.
Who said getting your last licks in? And I want to know which writer got to come up with that name.
I know, right?
What were the other names for Little Timmy and the Dick Brigade before?
What was the other name?
You know,
who knows?
At any rate, Arat, who is a woman who's in Negan's crew and who apparently has some position. Like,
yes, she does.
She told the guys to move out, start searching. Like, she's definitely, she has some authority within this group.
Yes, she does.
Well, she has Olivia. She's roughing, manhandling her, I guess.
Yes, she is.
And Negan's like, yo, a rat, you don't do that unless you have a good reason to. What's up? And she's like, there's two guns missing. And Negan's like, okay, like, we got a problem. Matter of fact, I think I have that scene. Let me see if I can play it. You guys can at least hear the audio.
Today's a banner day. Yes, it is. I think this little arrangement we have is going to work out just fine. Hold up. Let's see if you've been taking care of my guns.
Pointing the gun at Daryl. Oh, that's what that means. Okay.
Feels good. Sounds good. Well, I do believe Lucille's getting a little jealous.
He be killing me with that lean back, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That leather jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, holy smokes. Look at this. It was you guys that took out little Timmy and the Dick Brigade? Wow, Rick, getting in your last licks. Oh, man, I'm going to have some fun with this.
Please, I don't know.
Arat, we don't do that unless they do something to deserve it.
Yeah, we went through the inventory. Guns to the armory, guns to the hatter on the walls. They're short. Glock 9 and 22 Bobcat.
Is that true?
We had some people leave town. Those guns probably went with
So them. Olivia sucks at her job. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying
that. There should be a full accounting here, right? Top to bottom. Am I right?
No. I mean, yes. The inventory's correct.
Good. But not so good, too. You see, what's in here isn't in there. You're two handguns short. Do you know where they are?
No, I...
That's disappointing, Rick. I thought that we had an understanding. But this, well, this shows that someone's not on board. And I can't have that. I don't enjoy killing women. Men, I can waste them all the live long. But at the end of the day, Olivia, my dear, this was your responsibility.
We can work this out.
Oh, yes, we can. And I'm going to. Right now. This was your job, and you screwed up. Keeping track of guns? That shit is life and death.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, she, she fucked up, y'all.
Yeah, and when she was leading everybody off, he made a joke about her being overweight and watching the food.
Yeah, he's I can't help but notice you got a fat person watching the food. What a dick.
He had jokes.
What a dick, man. One of the things that I did notice just now watching that scene, the bullet shell that drops after he shoots around in the town, he just lets that bullet, basically that shell, sit there. So he decides basically he's gonna have to kill her. When we come back from commercial, Rick has a meeting in the town church, and they basically say, where the guns at? Okay, yeah, we got to give all the guns over to the saviors. I know we talked about hiding some in the woods, but what if they find them? Then they're gonna kill people. You know, if one of you guys gets caught outside walking with a gun, they're gonna find out that we got guns here. They're gonna kill us that way. We have to give them all the guns. It's the only way this plan can work. It's interesting because it makes me think of the kingdom. And did the kingdom make a deal with Negan's people straight up before there could be any war, violence or something? Because they got to keep some of their guns. or maybe Negan gives you some guns back or something after a while. I don't know. But they did have guns at the meetup, you know. Anyway, it's interesting. The black dude with the bald head, who I cannot remember his name to save my fucking life. I cannot remember this black dude's name. I know we got introduced to him before.
Yeah.
Cannot remember his name.
Somebody said Scott.
Scott? Okay, it's cool. Scott stands up and he's like, why they care about two guns? They got so many fucking guns. They took every gun. They worry about two goddamn guns. And Rick says, do you have them? And he said, no, but I wish I did. To which they care about the two guns because they symbolize compliance. And if you don't give them all the guns, they can just be assured that there's somebody that's not with the program and they can't afford to have dissension. I think it's the reason that Negan punks leaders and leaves them alive so they can then delegate it down to their people. Like, I got punked. You guys are all looking up to me. So now y'all punked by extension. And if I find out that there's people not on board with the program, maybe there's going to be a rebellion. Maybe somebody's going to attack us. Maybe I'm going to be up in here one time and somebody pulls a gun on me or something. So the two guns symbolize the fact that you guys are still fighting. And no, we will not have that. Give us all the guns. Another dude gets up, cause nobody at the meeting seemed to know or whatever. And Rick does emphasize if they don't have the guns, he gonna kill Olivia. Mm-hmm. And they did show a clip, a little picture, not a picture, but Negan sitting outside on a bench with his arm like around Olivia.
Just talking to her.
Right. Like, he is gonna kill her. Who knows what the fuck he was saying to her.
Right.
Aaron's man decides he wants to speak up, and Aaron says now's not the time. Once again, Aaron saw people get their heads bashed in. His man Eric did not.
Right. So, and that's the thing about it. People that were not there really don't understand. And I think something gonna happen. He gonna fuck one of them up like there. Then everybody gonna be like, oh, okay, shit got real.
Right. Rick says, he basically says, Eric says to Rick, when are we gonna get out of this? What are we gonna do? And Rick says, there is no getting out of this. Let me just say this clearly. I'm not in charge. Negan's in charge. Like, this is what we do to live, is we basically bow down to this dude. And he says, now who got the guns, basically? And they did they showed different people in the crowd. And you know, Alexandrians were basically losers until Rick and them showed up anyway.
And Rick basically showed them how to fight and literally gave the town a fighting spirit, actually.
Right. Which is cute that they think they can outthink Rick. Like they thought of a solution he hasn't, you know.
Right.
It's cute.
And it's one of those things where I don't think they understand the numbers.
Enid's face looked like she couldn't wait to leave. She was already planning on jumping over that wall in her mind. She was like, and I'm hopping over this goddamn wall. Bye. Eugene notices not everybody's at the meeting.
Right.
Which makes sense. Tara Heath left. Michonne's out. Spencer and Rosita are out.
Tara, yeah, right. They went. Yeah, they gone. They just hadn't returned.
Yeah,
back.
So not everybody's even here anyway. So right. There's places they can be searching. Like, maybe everyone's being honest. No one there has the guns. True. But you can search everybody's house and find the guns.
Mm-hmm.
In the woods, Rosita kills five walkers and takes a gun off of a corpse. These five walkers were the people when they had the shootout last season in the woods between her, Daryl, Eugene bit Dwight's dick.
Mm-hmm.
That shootout. Well, some of the people from the Saviors died,
mm-hmm.
but they turned to zombies, and she figured they were still around that area. Cause that was only 3 days ago.
Right.
So keep in mind keeping track of everything. So she found them and she killed them and she found a gun on one of them, but the gun had no bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer sees her and says, that's what you did this for, so you can get a gun? And she's like, yeah, why? You gonna tell? And she was like, don't you get it? This is not our life. Cause he was just saying, this is our life now cause of Rick, blah, blah, blah. And Rosita saying, no, this doesn't have to be our life. Like, we don't have to deal with these motherfuckers. Like, we can either fight them or whatever, but we're going to need weapons. And this is weapon number one. Now what I thought was interesting about this is that Spencer, once again, second guessing. Cause why is he so upset she got a gun? You know, like you were just saying how Rick got us into this. She gets a weapon and says, okay, cool, now we can fight back. And you like, oh God, no, this is stupid too. He's just a coward, but he's such a cuck. Right. Sorry to steal the slang of the alt-right, but he is a cuck. In Deanna's old house, Rick was tearing shit up looking for the guns. Father Gay walked in and said, I think everything's gonna be okay. And Rick was like, yeah, nigga, whatever. And he was like, look, we friends now. It's gonna work out. You know,
yeah, wouldn't always like that.
Yeah, it wasn't always that way. And you know, I got faith in the group and I got faith in you, and you're gonna find a way out. And Rick thanked Garrett Gabe for digging the grave that they pretended Maggie was in. Mm-hmm. So he was like, that was smart thinking for you to dig that fresh grave. And he was like, I'm just glad to be able to dig a grave that will never be filled. And I'm like, this nigga is getting on my nerves, even though he's a good guy now.
Yeah, not for me. It was one of those things where they showed the character change, but showed that I'll fuck some shit up, but I still got faith, you know. And I think that they kind of want to emphasize on that mm-hmm. part of it. So, no, I didn't see a problem. Yeah, he probably still didn't know Rick because he's like, you still in that faith shit? He's like, yep, nigga, but I got a Glock.
Yeah, he just... I don't know. He annoys me. I don't know what to say. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. He annoys me. I see that nigga and I'll just be like, shut up. No, I don't even care what he's talking about. So, all right. So Gabe is basically like, we got faith and all this shit. Aaron comes in and says he didn't find anything at Rosita's house. And Rick is like, yeah, that's cause there ain't nothing there. It's gotta be at Spencer's house cause he's done this before.
Right.
Trying to stash shit and. He the only nigga putting on weight in the Z-Pac. We like, right. We gotta watch him. So they say keep searching. And about that time, he goes to look out the window. And the air conditioning vent under his feet kind of rattles. He looks in there and he finds basically a 5-course meal. It's fucking...
Everything.
Canned goods, liquor.
Mm-hmm. He been stealing.
Guns was, of course, in there. Beans, greens, potatoes,
man,
tomatoes.
Everything. Oh, mo.
Nigga had everything up in there.
You name it.
Spencer, what you got in your air conditioning vent? I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes. So yeah, that was, of course. And so, but at least Rick found the guns. And he goes outside, cause obviously he wants to give these guns to Negan. Mm-hmm. When he goes outside, he sees a big ass pedophile looking nigga talking to Enid, cause Enid had some balloons and she wanted her balloons back. And I think those balloons probably reminded her of Glenn mm-hmm. and, you know, the balloons with Maggie and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, say please, little girl. And she was like, please.
You're right. That's got the people that look like fucking pedophiles.
Right. He rubbed his hand on her face a little bit and he's like, you know, be careful out here, little girl. And he handed her stuff to like some other dudes.
He was talking like he was slow.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just, you know, and he handed the other stuff in her bag to other people. He had an R. Kelly tape in there. There's a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Which this is the thing, right? Cause people keep saying like, well, why wouldn't they just kill Negan? And then I think if you kill Negan, the rest of the group disbands. Here's what I'm thinking. Okay. Here's what I'm thinking. Hear me out, guys. Negan is keeping them niggas in line. If there was no Negan, it would actually be significantly worse.
Oh, it'd be chaos everywhere.
Like this, as fucked up as those dudes are, they went through that entire town, ramshot. They didn't hit anyone. They didn't sexually assault anyone.
Because there'd have been a lot of that. They would have been on their own.
That many dudes that look like that, working as a unit, just being efficient, that's Negan's superpower. And that's why ain't nobody killed his ass yet. Because if you kill him, you can't just kill him. You got to kill all them niggas. Because the rest of them savages cannot be walking around with no leash. And that's my belief. Because that's what I was looking. Because when I saw that dude, that's when I went, okay, that's why you don't kill Negan. Because that's the only dude keeping him from being like, I'm going to work and get into my pedophile game now, baby. It's free reign.
The cops can't get me.
Right. So anyway, that's what I took from that scene. Carl Young C. Murder Jr. of course saw all this.
What? He was like, nigga, I'll fuck you up.
He wanted, and Rick, the only thing he could say was, Carl, they'll be gone soon. But he was not cool with that shit. Let's see.
You seen all the fight in Carl's little one eye.
Rick gave Negan the guns. Negan wanted to know who was hiding the guns. Rick said it didn't matter. And Negan said it does matter because that means somebody's not down with the program. They didn't show Rick telling them, which I'm assuming he did. They cut the commercial. We came back. Negan was packing his shit up to go. Right outside the fence was a little abandoned house. Rick saw Michonne in the window. I don't know for sure if Negan saw her or not. I honestly couldn't tell.
Right.
Now, he may have seen her. I don't know. But Rick was nervous. And he definitely saw Rick shooting a nervous look towards that house. And Rick said, can I have a minute? And Negan said, no. And Rick said, please. And then he said, okay. Rick goes up in that house with Michonne. And he's like, I need your gun. And he's holding the bat. He's holding Lucille. And she sees him holding that. And he's like, he gave it to me to hold. And she's like, look at this cuck. You know, look at this motherfucker that I married. Mm-mm-mm. But she's basically looking at him like, what the fuck are you doing with that? And he's basically saying, I'm just trying to make us all survive. Give me your gun. I know you've been going out there practicing, trying to get better at shooting. He's like,
Andrea.
Right. He's like, if you get caught with that gun, they see us or something, they gonna, you know, kill somebody and I can't be responsible for that. I can't be responsible for another person dying.
Right.
Like Glenn and like Abraham.
On my watch. Right.
Now he said, you gonna give me the gun, basically, and she gave him the gun. And Negan applauds him for giving him the gun. He's like, that's trust, that's reading the room and you know, figuring it all out and all this shit. And he's Rick says, look, we showed that we can obey your rules. Can we please have Daryl back? And he says, nope, absolutely not. Then he goes, wait, actually, Daryl, if you can convince me that you want to stay here, you got anything to say? Daryl doesn't say anything. Once again, I think Daryl's punishing himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he thinks he deserves to stay.
Mm-mm. It is nothing against Rick or anything.
Yeah, I think he thinks he's supposed to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this world is so bleak and sad, I can understand giving up to a certain extent. So Negan's like, he didn't say nothing, so guess he's coming with me. And that kind of makes, it kind of drove home a point too with the whole, maybe Rick was so gung-ho about complying because he thought this is the only chance to get Daryl back.
Possibility,
you know, because what they're probably not gonna escape as long as Daryl's alive. They're probably not gonna,
because you need him.
Yeah, not even need him, just that's their friend.
Right.
I mean, they could all pack their shit up and go find another place to live, but it sounds like they're not even gonna try to do that because they love Daryl.
Of course.
You know, and this is the one way they know Daryl's gonna get fucked up. Mm-hmm. So basically Negan was like, all right, so you ready for me to leave?
Yeah. And I don't think that Rick is gonna give up on Daryl.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. Okay. And Dwight gets the spike from Spencer and Rosita. And he tells them they took their guns and most of their beds. And he says he hopes she finds a nice place to lay her pretty little head. Just once again, being a complete dick.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw her hat back to her and was like, that's all you getting. So he took all her stuff except her hat. And he said, you find anything else out there? And she said, just your dead friends. Then that was just such a badass line. And then Dwight hops on Daryl's bike, drives up to Daryl, and says, you can have this back, just say the word. Daryl doesn't say anything, and then Dwight drives off with the motorcycle. Negan then tells Rick, well, we made it, nobody died. Let me ask you something, Rick, you want me to go?
We made it.
Yep. He said, nobody died. He said, you want me to go? Rick says, I think that'd be best. And he says, just say those two little magic words. Rick says, thank you. He says, don't be ridiculous, thank you. And then he tells everybody to load their shit up and get the fuck out, let's go. And he says, oh, before I forget, I almost left Lucille here, because Rick's still holding Lucille. And he was like, after what she did, you know you wouldn't want to hold her. Which, you know, more psychological warfare, because he had him holding Lucille, the instrument that killed his two friends, the whole fucking hour and a half.
Right.
And a zombie comes up to the gate. Negan kills it with a candlestick. He tells Rick, killing that up for me next time. And then he tells Rick, in case you haven't caught on, I just slid my dick down your throat and you thank me for it. And I'm like, who's more petty, Negan or LeBron James after beating the Warriors?
3-1.
I mean, it's real close is what I'm saying. And then Daryl, he put Daryl on the back of the convoy looking out the back of the truck so that he would have to see his Alexandria and Rick and them as they drove away, looking like Nettie from The Color Purple.
Right!
like fucking, like Solomon Northrup in 12 Years a Slave. You the only thing, like Daryl just need a whole slave him just in the back. Just that run Jordan, a roll
yes.
Jordan. So then they focused on the sign that's on Alexandria's fence, which said, mercy for the lost, vengeance for the plunderers. Rick was looking at that sign, and it's never been less true. We come back from commercial. Rick confronts Spencer about hiding the guns. Spencer seemed unfucking bothered. Rick told him the whole spiel, they was gonna kill Olivia, and all this nigga had was, you went into my house? I was like, Rick, if you don't slap the shit out of this man. And Rick goes, I'm not faulting you for the guns. I did it myself. But the food, the liquor, you did it because you're small. You're weak. And you're lucky you got lucky with the walls and you got lucky with us. And Spencer went off as soon as Rick turned his back and started walking away far enough that he could be sure he wasn't in punching range.
Right.
He started talking that shit. He was like,
and the thing is, he saved his life because he didn't even tell, like, he could have been like, yeah, that nigga did it, and he would have fucked you up as soon as you came back.
Yeah, he might have made him do it himself. Who knows? Right. See, that's the thing with Negan. Everybody was like, well, just tell him it's Spencer. Fuck Spencer. It's like, well, Negan would do some twisted shit like kill Carl and make Spencer watch and be like, it's his fault that this happened. You don't know what the fuck Negan gonna do. He a fucking wild card.
Right.
At any rate, he told Spencer, you know, y'all got lucky. Spencer says, basically like, man, fuck you. You should have made the deal when we could. Yeah, we're all lucky. You led us to the promised land. Did Abraham get lucky? Did Glenn get lucky? And Rick, without turning around, was like, yeah, you talk to me like that again, I will break your jaw and knock your teeth out. Mm-hmm. He said, now do you understand? And Spencer didn't say shit. He was like, I want to hear you say it. Do you understand? And Spencer said, yes. Which was kind of some Negan shit. Kind of a Negan moment, you know. But that being said, because some people were like, well, this is Negan rubbing off on Rick. Here's the thing, guys.
Rick
ain't never had it for Spencer. He has talked down to them Alexandrians from the day he got there.
Come on.
When's the time that he was nice? He ain't never been nice. Mm-mm. He wanted to take Alexandria from them niggas. All they did was wake the sleeping John and him that was like, and I had a tough day, but we can go right back to step A1, baby. Like, if you want to do this, playboy, is this what you want to do?
Right. And also, yeah, Negan punked him and all that stuff. But he was like, bitch, let me remind you, I'm not nothing to fuck with. Come up here if you want to. We gonna have motherfucking problems if you come here. Like, right. Don't underestimate me, because I'm not fucking him up. Don't mean I won't fuck you up.
Right. I just did the you and me will never part with my friend Daryl. and now you about to sit up here and try to play me?
Right. And it's, you know, it's one of the things, like you say, it's cool to be the backseat driver and talk all that shit when you didn't see what happened, you didn't see what went on, and you purposely took that dig thinking, bitch, I'm not your mama.
Yeah, Spencer is basically the dude in the Facebook group that's always reporting posts. Right. You know?
Flagging them and shit.
Right. You always flagging somebody post, dog. Like, just chill. Anyway, he basically says, don't say that shit to me again. And then, Spencer goes to get in the truck and Rosita pops up out of nowhere like Tupac and Juice when, GQ went to his locker. She just popped up out of nowhere, man. I was like, where the fuck she come from? And she was like, you had guns all this time? Not to mention the liquor, right? But she was like, you had guns all this time. You got mad because I took one in the woods, you know? And he had two at home, by the way. And Spencer, you know, he had a lot of nerve because he knew that the whole time that he was doing that.
And that's the thing. He didn't care.
Right.
Rick had a point. Rick was like, you don't care about nobody else. She could have got fucked up and you mad because I went through your goddamn house. What the fuck is wrong with you?
And he told Rosita, you're right. We don't have to live this life or some shit like that. And he hopped in the truck. Do you think he left for good? Like left the compound or what?
I don't think he left. I think he's going to be a problem. I think Rick going to have to end up fucking him up.
Because where the fuck will he be going though?
Right.
I mean, he hopped in the truck. I feel like he left. Like he left.
I hope he did.
I hope so too.
Right. I really do hope he did. I hope he it wouldn't surprise me if he left and tried it and went to join Negan and them.
I'm surprised other people haven't left yet. You know, maybe they'll leave now. Maybe that'll be next week. People will be like, we need to leave, you know. So yeah, he got up and left. Rosita got the gun.
My thing is, where the fuck are you gonna go?
I mean, I guess anywhere that the saviors aren't. I don't know. Rosita got, yes, go ahead.
I guess, but my thing is, you don't know how big they are. Like you doing that on a gamble.
It's the devil, right? But it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
True.
I mean, it's a gamble every time Negan pulls that bat out and comes up in your fucking spot. So, I mean, maybe you feel like it's less dangerous somewhere else. I don't know.
True.
At any rate, Rosita got the gun she found in the woods. She had hid it in the wheel well of a car. Back in Rick's house, he was making up the floor.
Right.
Because they took his mattress. Mm-hmm. So, and keep in mind, him and Michonne sleep on that mattress. And she walked in there and saw him making up the floor.
Yes, she did.
And, you know, so
like
now
she's making a place, you know, how little kids, when they 5 and 6, they take naps, how they make their little pallet with their little sleeping bag.
Yeah, he's making a fortress.
Yeah, he was.
So, she basically walked over and was like, you know, saw this floor shit. And her whole thing was like, so we really not gonna fight. You know? She was like, you know, we could have hid more guns in the woods. And he was like, did you? And she didn't say anything. And he was serious. He wanted to know if she hid any more guns because he's going to give them to Negan.
Right, because he was like, I don't want these problems.
And she got ready to just walk out, but then she came back and she was like, everything we got from fighting. And he said, well, we don't have the numbers. She said, what about with Hilltop? He said, we still don't have the numbers. And she was like, what kind of, you know, like, this sucks. He was like, but at least this way we have a life, some kind of a life. And she said, what kind of life is this?
Right.
You know, the quality of life. And he then relayed a story of Shane the Savage. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how in the very beginning of this, he
went all the way back to season one.
He was in the hospital. He was basically left for dead. Mm-hmm. The Z-Pac popped off.
But he was in a coma.
And he woke up, he found his way back to his family, but before he could find his way back, you know, his family thought he was dead. And Shane and Carl and Lori were together, and Shane was protecting them, and Lori and Shane had sex. Mm-hmm. And his belief is she got pregnant and that Judith isn't his child.
Right.
And he's been raising Shane's child all this time. Mm-hmm. He brought up this whole story basically to say, just because your life ain't perfect don't mean you don't grin and bear it and make the best of what you got. I know Judith's not mine. I've raised her like she's mine because it's still a good life, basically. And he asked her, was she gonna, you know, he was like, we're not in this together, it's not gonna work. And she said she was gonna try. Mm-hmm. Which, and then she got down and helped him make up the floor, her side of the floor.
I bet that's something you probably ain't even told Carl yet.
What about Judith? Mm-hmm. Maybe not, maybe he doesn't have to. I don't know.
Carl may have pieced that together himself.
Yeah. The next day, Michonne is back at the same rusted car in the same field. Mm-hmm. She sits a bag on top of the car, which I'm assuming has a gun in it. I don't think she's trying as hard as Rick. But that's the thing I like about Michonne. Fuck Rick. If you're not ready, get ready. And if you are ready, stay ready. You can't be waiting for this nigga to come around, dog. Like, he got to grow a new set of balls. Let me at least learn to be reliant upon myself so that I can be of use when it's time. So yeah, maybe she hid some other guns and bullets somewhere.
All right. She was like, we gonna have to fight again. Like, I know we, like, he gonna be a problem.
Right.
And eventually you gonna get fed up. Like when you wanted to be Mr. Farmer Man out there growing crops before, that ain't gonna last long.
Right. So then she sees smoke, hops off of her the car and runs towards it, and we see that the Saviors have taken all the mattresses that they had and they burned them.
Yeah, they didn't have no use for
them. Didn't even need the Alexandrian mattresses. Mm-mm. They just took their mattresses and burned them
just because they could.
Psychological warfare. Mm-hmm. Ugh, she was so pissed. Right. I don't blame her. Back in Alexandria, Rosita finds a spent bullet shell, and it's the same one that Negan shot from that gun.
Ah, okay.
As she goes to Eugene's door, she asked him, can you make me a bullet? And that was it for that episode. Let me switch to session two real quick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what are you looking forward to next week?
It looks like we're going to the hilltop. So we get to see what's up with Maggie, Sasha. We're gonna get to see if the dude that run the place over there,
Gregory,
if he fucking folded,
get some Jesus.
I think he did. We're gonna see. Cause the way the preview was kind of cut, he gonna fold. Something gonna happen and he gonna fold. I wonder if they gonna find out Maggie's up there, because see, they, you know, because this ain't the age of the internet, you can't text up like, hey dog, they think you dead. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see if Gregory betrayed them, because Jesus might have to talk to him.
Nigga, why hast thou forsaken me? You said you was loyal, but you wasn't. You said you was faithful, but you a lying ass bitch.
Yeah.
Ah!
We'll see.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we don't get to see Jesus. That's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus going to be getting in that ass.
Come on.
You know? Even though, the end of the day, Jesus can't kill nobody because he love him, you know?
Nigga, you know I love you. No homo. But we through. Jesus.
All right, let's talk about the emails you guys sent us about Walking Dead. First of all, though, don't forget these emails are brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT today. Get your first month free. Getbevel.com/TBGWT today. Okay? It's going to make you feel better. In Trump's America, there's no reason black men cannot be clean shaven. Okay? That we can't look well and presentable and fit in, because that's what the cops going to be looking for, y'all. They're going to be looking for these rough necks out here when they do worldwide stop and frisk for the whole country. So get Bevel, because Bevel's trying to save you, okay? They're trying to save us from out here looking like hooligans so that we can look fresh and clean, all right? Don't forget, holiday season's coming up. Get yours now, and you can give your pops, your uncle, your Maine, whoever, you can give them something that they will not forget and they will definitely feel appreciated for. Getbevel.com/TBGWT. Emails. Let's see. Notorious EVE writes in, hi Rod and Karen and honored guests. Sorry, I always forget who the guest is. We didn't have a guest this week. Is it just me or is it required that you have no ass to be a leader in Robert Kirkman's Z-Pac? Both Rick and Negan suffer from having negative ass. LOL. well, we haven't, I don't know, King Ezekiel might, I don't know, what he working with?
I don't know, he was be fully covered most of the time.
I don't know.
That long ass coat.
When he showed up at Carol's house, he didn't have on no coat. Yeah, on his fucking jeans.
But it didn't show him from behind.
I thought this episode was great. Not sure it needed to be 90 minutes, but it was good overall. A few observations. I'm kind of glad Daryl didn't get to stay in Alexandria. I'm hoping that he will play a key role in the battle to come. Who better than Daryl to be the inside man? He would know where the guns are and the layout of the Savior's home base. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting because knowing the comic book story, Daryl's not in it. Mm-mm. But we get a peek at the inside culture of the Saviors through a different character that like finds his way into Negan's compound.
Right, completely different.
And I think we're not gonna get that if they do it the Daryl way. Also, they need to get Spencer out of here. I don't understand how this character is still acting like a super entitled rich kid. It's not Trump's apocalypse. It's Negan's. And he needs to be on board until they figure out a way out of this. Furthermore, why Negan got a fat shame Olivia? Super petty. I know. Thing is, he don't seem above it. I thought, as soon as I seen him, I said, he gonna say something about Olivia being fat. Just a few thoughts. Love your show and your recap is everything. Can't wait till next week. Notorious EVE. And it's still fuck Dwight forever. I really hate that guy. Yeah. That's why I'm 100% sure that episode wasn't about how poor Dwight is. Oh, poor Dwight. I'm pretty sure we're supposed to all be like, fuck him. The Walking Dead. Hello, the Black Altus fam. Carl gives zero fucks and I love it. He is now one of my favorite characters, and for the first time since the show started, I can say that I will be sad when that little psychopath dies.
Ah!
That's interesting because I saw a lot of hate on the timeline for him pulling that gun on them two dudes. Mm-mm. But my belief is that
Gangsta Carl.
Yeah, my belief is that Negan was taking guns no matter how it shook out, and he just, right, that was just a way he could make it seem like it was their fault.
Correct.
When Rick told Michonne that he knew little ass kicker wasn't his, me and my mother couldn't help but be shocked. Everyone had always joked that he was not the father, but to hear him say it took us by surprise. Finally, I don't care if it's Rosita or Daryl who does it, but Dwight needs to die a painful death. He was just being an ass this entire episode and not in a funny way like Negan. Thanks for the recap. Love the show, Najia. Karen, what'd you think about Rick's confession that it wasn't his, that Judith, he doesn't think Judith is his?
I think it was surprising that he made the confession. Like I said, I think it was something that he knew and kind of most people kind of picked up or was kind of like, well, it could be, you know, yours, couldn't be yours, you know, but I was like, that ain't your baby. And I think he came to the realization. I think he trusts Michonne enough to know him telling her, she's not going to tell nobody because she basically like the second wife, basically. I guess my next question is he going to tell Carl, and how will Carl respond to it?
Yeah. Yara writes in, hey Rod and Karen, I really enjoyed this episode. Negan's crew is so petty and I love it, except for Dwight. He has some single white female thing going on with Daryl that turns me off. He could choke as far as I'm concerned, and if Rosita happened to be the one to take him out, I won't be mad.
I think she might, because she is really on some fuck you nigga.
What if Rosita kills Dwight and rescues Daryl, and then they become a couple?
That's interesting, because the thing about Rosita, and you pointed out, she is like a straight up fighter. Like, her facial expressions and her looks are like, if you fuck with me, I will fuck you up. I'm complying because I got to comply. Like she the person, like, I'm back here because I got to be back here, but if it was up to me, I wouldn't be making these choices.
Right. It would be an interesting twist to do it that way, you know, like, we're gonna be we're gonna be a couple, but it's the opposite. I saved the man, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right, because she's not no damsel in distress, right? You know, and you know, people can say what they want to about the women characters and how they written, but one thing I can say, as far as like Michonne, you know, like it's certain women that you go, oh, you can take care of yourself,
right? So yeah, okay, so Yara also goes on to say, speaking of Rosita, she is really coming into her own, but I'm speculating that she might die by the end of the season because of all the added screen time. What do you guys think? I don't even really get into the guest watch on deaths because honestly, all these motherfuckers gonna die except probably Rick and Carl, so I'll just, yeah, I'll wait and see, like y'all, I don't know.
And to me, it happened when it happened, if it happened.
I normally can only tell when it start, when the episode is specifically like, when, if Rosita starts being like, I grew up on a farm in Oklahoma, then it's like, oh,
no, you're about to die.
Yeah, it's always when motherfuckers get a whole backstory. I just wanted to add as well that you're completely right about the Walking Dead audience being total babies about everything. I've already seen complaints about people being bored of Negan and wanting him to die. He's only just showed up and he's a major part of comics. They were never just going to skip over him. This has been building up since the second half of season 6. Like, what the fuck do you want to happen? What do you think is going to happen after his arc is over anyway? This is why I take breaks from social media. Anyways, can't wait to hear the podcast. Love y'all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only thing about live tweeting is, you know, you start these things, these live tweets, because you love something and you want to talk to other people that love it.
Right.
But it doesn't take long before people are using it just to shit on the show and stuff. And it's like, man, you know, but that's just how life is. It's cool. Not everybody's going to like everything.
Nope.
But I still find the show to be entertaining, and 7 seasons in, there's not very many shows I can say that about.
Ain't that the truth? So, and for me, it's not, and from Roger, know me, this is one of the few shows that I stick around this long.
Yeah. EVE writes in, hi Rod and Karen, I still enjoyed the episode, but I have to admit this is a hard one to watch. I was so embarrassed for Rick and crew. I know, I tweeted during the middle of this, this is worse than Terminus. Like, Terminus was bad, this was worse for me. I don't know why. Like, Terminus, I watched them about to get drained in a fucking tub and eaten, and I still was like, I'm more nervous that something gonna pop off now. That's really what Negan gives the show that they didn't have before, is you can do a whole episode where I know no one's gonna die and I'm still nervous as fuck.
Right. Cause when Carl shot, I was like, man, he's gonna fucking fuck somebody up.
Right. So, I still enjoyed the episode. Okay, so she says also, but the title of this episode should have been called The Castration of Rick's Other Ball. Negan was doing the absolute most, but I think he might have gone too far. People may fear him now, but his antics will eventually cause people to rebel against him, and it will be glorious. I mean, damn, Negan's son Rick so bad. I don't think we can ever see him as a badass again. One thing is certain, Rick is about to suffer from a very severe case of blue balls, because you know Michonne ain't giving him none for a very long time. Yo, what if that's what brings him back though, y'all? The power of that black coochie. Mm-hmm. It's real.
She don't protest.
They are magic. That coochie is not about to get wet for Rick after she witnessed what he's going to have to, after she witnessed that. He's going to have to work for that kitty after that. Yeah, maybe she won't. I don't know. Maybe they'll just have a sensitive moment on the couch and he can cry and get some like Drake. I don't know.
On the floor. You mean on the floor?
On the floor. Dwight continues to be a big pile of shit. God, I wish they would just kill him already. He's high on my kill list right now, along with Spencer's punk ass. How did Deanna and Reg end up with 2 ain't shit sons, right? Mm-hmm. Why did he get to live? The other one was trying to come around. Poor Daryl. It looks like the Alpo died might finally be getting to him. Hope he escapes. Looking forward to seeing the Hilltop crew next week, EVE. Well, it couldn't get to him too much because he still ain't want to say I am Negan.
He's like, y'all gonna kill me, but I'm not folding either.
Right. Emil writes in, the Walking Dead recap, throat dick.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. That's a shit ain't been able to pull.
Hey, Karen, Rod, and guest. Welcome to Negan's Alexandria. The saviors have come to take their settlement back. The highlights of the episode for me were when Negan said Father Gabriel was creepy as fuck. And when he told Rick, I just slipped my dick down your throat and you thanked me. The big question for me, though, is the guns. I don't recall Hilltop having any guns, but the kingdom certainly did. I wonder if the writers will address this inconsistency. If they haven't already done so in a way, I hadn't noticed. Did Detroit Zeke make a deal with Negan? Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think he already made a deal. Mm-hmm. Also, they meet the kingdom off site. Like,
right.
They don't even go to the kingdom when they meet. So there's mm-hmm. something up there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't think Negan wanted with no big ass tiger, to be quite honest. Like, I think the tiger trumps Lucille. Also, the general population of the kingdom didn't seem as if they had the pleasure of meeting Negan in the fashion that Alexandria did. I don't think the Hilltop population met Negan either, because they would have been able to give a description to Rick in them last season. He is pretty memorable. Maybe Alexandria is a special case because they killed his people while they were sleeping and stole an assload of guns from them. Huh. I think he's been to the Hilltop.
I do too.
Yeah, I think he's been there before. I think he killed some people in front of them. I think they've seen him. Mm-hmm.
That's why whatchamacallit, you know, was shook and all that shit. And also, I think, too, they purposely didn't describe him, because, honestly, I don't even think they realized how big the group was.
Yeah, I also don't think they knew where Negan and them stayed.
Right.
Because they thought they stayed at the outpost.
Mm-hmm.
But they must have an outpost or had an outpost. That.
Right. They probably have several outposts scattered.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is certain, Negan is petty as fuck for burning their mattress right on the road where they knew they would see, where he knew they would see them. Fuck that, that hurt. Based on the complete and total humiliation that Rick suffered, Negan either has to die or the saviors will become the main group of the story. Right? My theory is that either Dwight will snap and kill him, or Negan will push Rick so far that he has nothing left to lose. Yeah, I think, honestly, man, and I just feel like after we see Hilltop, the rest of the story has to be, how do you get Hilltop, Alexandria, and the kingdom all on one page and attack the saviors? And maybe if you can find cracks within the saviors or something.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting how they weave that.
But that's the only thing I can see. I think that's, cause this show is about survival and world building. All of this is basically about international diplomatic relations. So it's like, you have these different leaders, each little segment is like a different country.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first war they've had. They've had some skirmishes before. They've had some battles. This is the first real war. Like, when you look at even the governor, he had a tank that nobody knew how to work. He had basically given guns to women and children
who didn't know how to use them.
Right. Like, this is an actual war that we're about to see. And that, I think that's what we're seeing, is everyone gearing up to be like, to realize essentially the only way out of this is a war.
Right. Yeah, you know, a lot of people might be in denial, but eventually they're like, look, eventually we got to fight. We can't live like this forever.
Right. That's my guess anyway. One thing that is certain is he's paying. Okay, I think I said that. My theory is either Dwight will snap and kill him, or Negan will push Rick so far he has nothing to lose. The secondary theory means either killing Michonne, Carl, or Judith. Also, who knew that Rick figured out that Judith was a jacket? A jacket is a Jamaican term used when the baby is not the husband, but the product of an affair, and the husband doesn't know the usage. She gave him a jacket. Okay. That is different. I had not heard that before.
Mm-mm.
Thank you for the recaps, and keep hope alive in Trump America. We will do what we can.
Yes, we can.
That's the last email. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Mm-hmm. And everybody that tweets us and all that stuff. We'll be back Saturday with your feedback.
Yes, we will.
Balls Deep is going to be Friday for premium listeners. So we'll be back Friday with that. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.